Morning, Alec.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Alec.
Your politicians there that seem to want to sweep everything under the table. Two facts. I'm two of your cases. In one case, I've been waiting. It was 2 years in September to see a consultant. I'm told the waiting list is actually 132 weeks or something like that.
For what? 132 weeks for what?
It's a rheumatology problem.
Goodness. 130 over 2 years?
Sorry, that's a urology problem. Yes. It was 2 years in September. I have been waiting. And the rheumatology problem, I've just had an appointment for next month, and that's also over 2 years I've waited.
I was going to say I'm gobsmacked, but I need to ask you how that feels.
Well, in one case, it's a lot of discomfort. The other case, I'm starting to worry that turns into something a lot more serious.
So what would you like to say this morning, Alec, to those in power that are keeping you waiting over two... Did you work all your life, Alec?
Yes. I appreciate that the National Health Service could become a bottomless pit, but it does really seem to be a completely chaotic institution where it's overburdened with bureaucracy that seems to spend its time protecting itself, and less thought is given to the actual patients and for the reasons of the national health being there.
Alec, thank you. Michael. Morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning.
Stephen, I'll tell you what my concern is. Where did the 20 million shortfall actually go that we didn't spend?
Well,
go back into the exchequer, the treasury.
No, so there was 25 million spent on waiting lists altogether, right? And then, the balance was utilised on a range of things within the health service. So, independent care homes, domiciliary care providers, GP out of our services, pay related costs in respect to frontline services.
In the meantime, they did not identify the possibility that the waiting list may get longer. Simply because that money was not spent and where it was supposed to go was in the waiting list.
Well,
I mean, I can give you
Don't forget another thing that happened. And we're actually trying to get in touch with some representatives as we speak this morning of the private health sector. But what they did at one stage was they turned the tap off for the private sector does a certain amount of operations on the health of the health service. Okay.
Yes.
Because that's how the NHS gets more capacity.
Is that doctors who are working, are they surgeons and consultants who are working for the health service and then doing extra consultancy jobs as well?
Correct. Yes, okay. They are. Now, hold on. And some people, and you're entitled to do it, some people would be critical of those surgeons and consultants and say, hold on a moment, if they are trained up by the NHS, then they should be working flat out for the NHS.
Yes.
One of the other arguments is that, look, what the private sector does is it has the capacity to work on behalf of the NHS, and the private sector would argue efficiently on behalf of the NHS and help reduce waiting lists. They completely.
But Michael, let me
make this point to you. You'll understand why I'm labouring it. But what they did at one stage was they completely turned the tap off to the private sector, so that the private sector was not doing any operations on behalf of the NHS. And what happened?
Whose decision was that, Stephen?
And what happened as a result? The waiting lists.
Yeah.
It's not that the waiting lists weren't decreasing. The waiting lists, obviously, because the private sector wasn't doing any, the waiting lists increased. And for every day they were increasing, then of course it would take longer in the long term to reduce them.
So whose decision was to turn this tap off?
Well, clearly it was the decision of the health minister at the time.
For what reason? Again, this is what we want to find. Why did he do that? If we are getting someone to supplement your service, and to enhance to reduce the pressures that they're obviously under, then why would you take that away?
Money.
But Stephen, the money was there. That
was after that. This 40 million was after that. Yeah. I'm talking about a period when, don't forget that we had the whole row between the DUP and Sinn Féin over welfare reform.
Yes.
Don't forget that your politicians were telling you we're sending money. They were saying we're sending money back to the Exchequer. What was actually happening was that money was you wouldn't get from the block grant. Remember all the fines conversation? So they had less money to deal with. One of the implications was they turned the tap off to the private health sector. Meanwhile, waiting lists weren't even staying steady. They were going up. And you're dealing with that legacy of that now.
But surely, Stephen, if they knew they were going to turn the tap off at some stage, surely all the stakeholders should have been getting around a table identifying the greater needs, the areas of priority, and instead, as you've mentioned, instead of dealing with, they spent 25 million directly on the waiting list. The rest was dealt with in what you've just described there, in terms of the hiring of unemployment of the private care, etc. At what stage, once they discovered that they were going to turn the tap off, did they meet and discuss reallocation, reprioritising?
Michael, there were graphs done because this program saw them at the time.
Stephen, you know as well as I do, statistics.
But Michael, you know, there were graphs done. I know this because I saw them, okay?
Yes.
Which were predicting the waiting lists imploding. In other words, going through the roof. I saw those graphs with my own eyes. This was all predictable.
Yeah, predictions is one thing, Stephen, but to make provision for those predictions is another thing.
Well, Sinn Féin and the DUP were arguing at the time, and they couldn't find a way through it.
And therefore, as a consequence of that, the Joe public suffers. Joe public has to deal with their inability, their ineptitude. They're, let's be honest about it, their political agenda, Stephen.
Well,
that's the bottom line.
Well, to be fair to them, and some people are giving them flak for it, they're now working quite closely together. So we can't have
Stephen,
it both ways, can we?
You and I both know that let's call it a spade here. They're working together to their own agenda, Stephen. That's the bottom line. You and I this has been pointed out and noticed that they won't even go share at the same program together. So they do not want to get into conflict. They're putting together.
Well, they do go on some programs together. They're not fighting anymore on this show.
They're non-contentious, as you, Stephen. They're agreeing to disagree. That's the bottom line. That's political speak. They're agreeing to disagree to make sure that everything's nice and rosy in the garden. In the meantime, the patients, the people that are on the waiting list, the people who are waiting for consultancies, etc., are having to wait for them. To be quite honest, Stephen, it's absolute shambles.
When I hear someone tell me this morning they're waiting 2 years, I find it difficult to believe. I do believe
Stephen, I had to wait 5 weeks for an X-ray to come back. An X-ray. 5 weeks.
Michael, thank you. Tom, next morning, Tom.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Good morning.
Well, basically, I've been on a wait list for a long period of time also.
How long?
The wait list I've been on now for 2 years, 1 month before I was able to see the consultant who I saw mid-September. And from that meeting, he's now put me on the surgery list and says I have to wait another 4 to 6 months before I get surgery.
So that would be the guts of 3 years from the point of diagnosis to surgery.
Well, when it flared up really badly when I had to take time off work, that was 3 years ago. That was Christmas 3 years ago.
And listen to what you just said. Take time off work. So there are implications here for the economy.
Oh, God, yeah. And your mental health as well, because I'm a worker and I just get very down. And my wife says my mood's changed. And I'm at the minute I'm stuck in the house, I've got cabin fever because my back complaint is prolapsed disc, male 4L5, S1 areas compromised. And I suffer from severe sciatica, which means my right leg is perpetually numb right down to the foot. So it means I can't drive. I have no confidence driving at the minute. So I'm stuck in the house until she comes back and the kids come back. We have a two-year-old twin boy. So I'm having to try and help her out with them as well. It's just perpetual. On top of that, I'm taking, funnily enough, Lyrica, Pregabalin.
This is about money, okay?
Yeah, oh God, yeah.
And that's what it's about. I'm about to give you all a story after 10 o'clock this morning to tell you that the cost of the Stormont executive's press operation, okay, has totaled over £1 million since the executive was formed. That's in May of this year. They've spent £1 million on press officers since May of this year, Tom.
£5,000 would sort me out. I have to get another MRI. That'll be my third MRI since initially I've had it back.
Well, while they spend £1 million since May on press officers,
The
context for that is they're spending more on press officers than the Scottish government will. They're spending more than the Welsh government spent in the whole of last year. So when we talk about there's no money, this programme will be scrutinising what they're spending the money on. And we'll look at the whole press officer issue after the 10 o'clock news this morning. Tom, thank you. Tom, what do you say to the government this morning as someone waiting nearly 3 years to get an operation?
Show a bit of common sense and prioritise people who, you know, are out into society and need to be out there working. And for the sake of £5,000, you could have me back and work and I could be a better fulfilled person. So,
Tom, thank you very much indeed. Good morning
to you. All the best. Bye.